Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Hello and welcome to Behind the Headlines. I'm your host, Louise Easton, and in tonight's episode, I'll be sharing more details about a special challenge we're undertaking as a group of radio stations.
From the ages of 9 up until 18, we've kind of struggled a little bit towards the end. We've still got 1,547 children to support.
We're looking into the speculation of which star striker could be leaving Old Trafford.
I would keep him. Good local lad too.
Going through our junior ranks, he's obviously been a loyal servant to the club.
And you'll find out what our reporter was doing to give this reaction.
Okay, that's cold! That's really cold!
So settle in as we take you behind the headlines on just some of the stories we've covered today in our bulletins. First up, with only 6 days to go until Christmas, many of you will be picking up those final presents and treats for your loved ones. I bet you'll also be popping an extra pack of batteries or two in your basket for all the gadgets and gizmos you'll be gifting, because there's nothing more annoying than running out of those on the big day. But a mum from Stoke has issued a warning to other parents over ensuring that those batteries are safely kept away from little hands. Our chief reporter in the Northwest, Adam Smith, has more on this.
They're often the size of a penny. They're found in car keys, musical toys, and remote controls. And it was one of those which two-year-old Harper Lee Fanthorpe managed to open up and swallow the battery. A few hours later, in hospital, Harper died.
He says it's been through her esophagus, and it's gone through one of her main arteries to her heart. The last thing Harper ever said was, "Mummy, I need you."
That's Stacey Marie, Harper's mum. What happened on that day back in May 2021 has left her with PTSD. She's now urging every family to check Christmas gifts and to keep button batteries away from children.
Christmas toys. I mean, I know people will be buying Christmas books that make noises. If you look on the back of their button battery, some have got screws in, some haven't. If they haven't got a screw in, please, even if it's a present, discard. If you are ordering things off the internet that can contain button batteries, they're not properly safety checked. Like the remote Harper had the button battery from, that was off the internet, so there was no screw. So when she'd pulled the back of the remote out, just fell out. All I want to say to parents is, please check, check and check again.
Stacey Marie says she'll keep fighting in Harper's legacy so no other family goes through what she did.
You're listening to Behind the Headlines. A teenager who used laughing gas at the wheel of his car has been jailed for killing his three passengers in a high-speed crash. Thomas Johnson, who has been left permanently disabled, has been told he'll serve more than 9 years in jail. The 19-year-old lost control of his BMW as he was travelling at more than 100 miles an hour in Oxfordshire in June last year. Our reporter Callum McIntyre has been speaking with the families of those he killed.
Police say Johnson's three teenage passengers, Elliot, Ethan and Daniel, would have had no chance of survival given the speeds involved. Alex Hancock is Daniel's dad.
We didn't get to say goodbye to him. I was at work the day he left and, yeah, it's, you know, just horrible thoughts of him dying by the side of the road.
Victim impact statements were read out in court and the families were praised for their dignity, courage and patience. Mia is Ethan's sister.
If I just halted him that bit longer having a conversation and forcing him to tell me about work, maybe he would have gone out later, maybe he wouldn't have got in that situation, but you can't think what if, because there is no what if. It doesn't feel like family anymore. It feels like I lost my brother and my parents.
Police described the crash as one of the most catastrophic and tragic collisions they've ever dealt with. Detective Sergeant Tony Jenkins was the senior investigating officer.
In this case, there was a friend that was out with them that evening. That friend chose not to go out with them for the rest of the evening, and that friend is with us, so no is always an option.
Well, Johnson from Stainswick Glen in Shrivenham was in tears in the docks during the sentencing. He's also been banned from driving for 11 years.
Still to come, we're looking at why some of our reporters have spent the day sorting through thousands of gifts. And I'll tell you about a very unconventional Christmas dinner that's been unveiled in the Midlands. But first, we're talking football. And although he may still have another 3.5 years left on his contract, it seems Marcus Rashford could potentially be leaving Manchester United as soon as next month. Apparently, he says he's ready for a new challenge. Our senior reporter in the Northwest, Olivia Davis, is outside Old Trafford.
Rashford came up through United's academy and played his debut back in 2016. And since then, he's scored a whopping 138 goals. In that time, he's also helped them win the Europa League and 2 FA Cups.
I would keep him. Good local lad too.
I think Rashford's been made good for United. I mean, he came through our junior ranks. He's obviously been a loyal servant to the club.
Amrim decided to leave Rashford out of the squad for the derby, and since then, the forward said he's looking to take the next steps in his career. Jay Motti's from the Stretford Paddock podcast.
Whilst there have been a few lows, there's been a lot of highs as well. And post Alex Ferguson, he's been one of our best players. I think you've got to give him some credit and respect that.
Well, as the January transfer window approaches, it seems Rashford's future at United remains uncertain.
Now, if you cast your mind back to the summer, you'll remember those violent scenes during the riots. Well, a report has been looking into the way they were handled by police forces and has found top cops were too slow to realise the scale of the disorder. Violence erupted across the country following the Southport attacks, where 3 little girls were fatally stabbed. And the police watchdog has now found the riots went on longer than they should have, because some of the decisions that were made. Our reporter Owen Ahrens has more on this study.
Well, across the country, hundreds of people have now been charged over the riots. Altogether, 130 officers were injured during days and days of disorder. Now the police watchdog has been looking into the decisions taken by police bosses as the violence unfolded to see if things could and should have been handled differently. Chief Inspector of Constabulary Andy Cook explains what they've found.
The police officers who were dealing with the disorder, there was absolute dedication and bravery throughout. There's no two ways about that. And this was the biggest mobilisation of police since 2011. Once the police mobilised, they did well. But there's a lot of learning for policing as well, because firstly, they did the national mobilisation too late. They should have done it 5 days before we did. And the intelligence that would actually direct where the resources needed to be wasn't as good as it should have been.
In terms then of that decision of when to kind of mobilise things nationally, obviously stuff started off in Southport and Walton, yeah. And then over the next few days we saw it spread around the country. What is it that kind of informs that decision about whether or not this is a national picture, and why do you think that decision could have potentially been made earlier?
There were warning signs that said that the police should have mobilised earlier. There'd been a number of incidents over the previous 2 years that related to nationalist sort of violence and disorder. Marches, attacks on immigrants' hotels, and similar sorts of issues. Add the fact that, you know, the weather was good, it was a weekend was coming. So whilst the issue in Southport caught everyone by surprise, the subsequent disorder that we saw, whilst couldn't have been predicted at its scale, policing should have been ready earlier to send more resources.
Well, with tensions still high in some communities, it's hoped forces across the country can now learn from this to prevent the same scale of violence happening in the near future.
Still to come on Behind the Headlines. Remember this reaction?
Okay, that's cold! That's really cold!
Well, I'll tell you what caused that. And we'll be hearing more about that unique Christmas dinner. But first, I want to talk about Mission Christmas. It's something that Bowers radio stations are taking part in for our charity, Cash for Kids. Its aim is to make sure that on the big day, every single child has a gift to open. And today is the last day you can drop off a gift to one of the many sorting sites that we have across the country. Our senior reporter Rebecca Cornby has been down to the warehouse in North Lincolnshire.
So this year we are in a new warehouse in Barton upon Humber, and I can already see there's so much more gifts here this year. I mean, just how well have you done so far, Hannah?
Yeah, amazing. We've managed to support over 8,000 children so far. I mean, this year we were trying to help over 10,000, so we've still got a little way to go.
Feel like we need some more gifts for age 9 and over?
Yeah, so from the ages of 9 up until 18, we've kind of struggled a little bit towards the end. We've still got 1,547 children to support.
Well, in North Lincolnshire, over 10,000 people need support at this time of year, but across the country, we're talking hundreds of thousands, so it's all hands on deck. One of our sports reporters, Dave Galloway, has donated his time to sifting through your generous donations. He's at a distribution base in North East Scotland.
Yes, it's been a very busy day indeed here in Aberdeen. It's hard work and there's so much to do, but it's very enjoyable and humbling even. Why did I become a volunteer? Well, simply because I wanted to do my bit. This is like a giant sorting office that I'm in at the moment. Our drivers arrive with vanloads of gifts picked up from 120 local collection points. I've been working in a group of 10 people. We've been sorting the presents into 8 different age categories from 0 to 18 years old. After that, it's a case of checking what's been allocated to each applicant and getting everything ready. I've had a great day. It's been very lively. It's such a positive place to be, keeping up with record demand from over 6,100 applicants has been an exciting challenge. There's been a rush of donations, with this being the last day to drop gifts off. But what's kept us going is that, you know, we've all been doing what we can to help the children who need it most.
The parents of murdered Northumberland teenager Holly Newton are delivering brand new education workshops to schools in the hopes of teaching young people the red flags in relationships. 15-year-old Holly was controlled, emotionally and psychologically abused by her ex-boyfriend, but when she tried to leave the relationship, he stabbed her to death. Our reporter Sophie Green's been at a school in Bedlington where Holly's parents have been working with teenagers.
The classroom's packed with Year 11 students taking part in a domestic abuse education assembly by Holly's mum and stepdad, Michaela and Lee. Michaela tells me why she created the education package.
So important for children and young teens to have this education in schools regarding healthy and unhealthy relationships. They really need that knowledge, and we've obviously learned from feedback that they want to know as well.
What difference are you hoping to make by educating young people about the signs of domestic abuse?
We're really hoping that we can help somebody else who may find themselves in a position that Holly was in, hoping to save somebody else's life.
The workshop highlighted the so-called red flags in relationships, hoping to raise awareness of the dangers of coercive control and manipulation. Students Jasmine and Scarlett tell us how they feel after taking part.
I think it's good to like educate us on this sort of thing, because it is a real life issue that does affect so many people, and like we've learned so much about like speaking up.
So many young people don't know about like the signs of domestic abuse and like what the issues can be, and that it's a problem in relationships. So it's good for them to know that what's a healthy relationship and what's like not.
Well, Holly's parents say they hope these sessions provide kids with the knowledge they need to identify when a relationship becomes abusive and prevent any other child finding themselves in the same position as Holly.
This week, we're taking a special look at discrimination in women's and girls' football and what's being done to tackle it. New stats show only one case was officially reported in the last 2 years in Cambridgeshire, but the association there has told us that's not reflective of the real issue. Well, our reporter Dan Mason has been looking into it.
We were an easy target at that time.
These comments were homophobic and at some point quite sexual.
Players have definitely changed the way they've played towards me, because I was the only girl in the team.
You heard Mia, Lauren and Georgia. They're just some of the female players I spoke to about their experiences of discrimination. In fact, the Cambridgeshire FA believe there could be even more people just like them. Georgia's told me how the issue has made her feel.
Sometimes when I've had these comments made towards me, my football's changed. My head drops. I kind of disengage with the game, but then you also get other times where it motivates you, it makes you angry, you play a lot better.
There is some action being taken. Here's Cambridgeshire FA Chief Executive Jo Knox.
There's also like a grassroots code of conduct where we're encouraging clubs to take action as well, like greater responsibility across the game, so that everyone is kind of trying to deal with people within their own clubs and leagues.
Well, Dan joins me now. Dan, firstly, why the focus from the Cambridgeshire FA?
Well, the Cambridgeshire FA say they want to make tackling poor behaviour in the grassroots game a priority. While in its own 4-year strategy, the FA says it aims to address the underreporting of discrimination.
And why are players and coaches coming forward now?
Some of those I've spoken to have faced discrimination both in person and online over the course of their career so far, and by speaking out, they hope others will do the same.
And as I mentioned, this is something we're taking a special focus on, isn't it? What else will you be reporting on this week?
Well, some female footballers have opened up to me about how social media has affected them. But as well as that, we'll also be hearing from a local MP on what else is being done to stamp out discrimination for good.
Thanks, Dan. We all like a bit of chocolate at Christmas, don't we? I know I've got far too much around my house at the moment, but how do you fancy an entire meal made out of it? Now, that could be a dream scenario for some, and if that's the case, that dream has come true in Birmingham. Amelia Sammons works in our Birmingham office and can explain more on this one for us. Amelia, we're talking about an entire Christmas meal here, aren't we?
We are indeed. So it includes turkey, roast potatoes, parsnips, carrots, pigs in blankets, and of course, you've got to have them, Brussels sprouts. They've even made a vegetarian Wellington, and there's chocolate gravy to go with it too.
That sounds huge.
It is absolutely massive. 70 centimetres wide and it weighs 30 kilograms in chocolate, which is the equivalent of 667 of their standard dairy milk bars. And before you ask, there's only one place in Birmingham which could have made this. Of course, it's Cadbury.
Of course it is. Now, we've discussed the main meal and after all that chocolate, you probably don't need a pudding, do you?
You're right, you probably don't, but they did make one just in case, including a Christmas pudding decorated with holly leaves and a gold shimmering pot of brandy butter and mince pies, all accompanied by a red Christmas cracker. All in all, it took those chocolatiers 4 days to hand make it.
So is this something that someone could attempt to eat? Can I stop peeling spuds and think about offering up just chocolate this Christmas?
I'm going to say no, but it will be on display at Cadbury World until the end of the year, so who knows what they'll do with it afterwards.
Okay, thanks. Well, what better way to work off all that chocolate than a bit of exercise? And that is what hundreds of people are getting ready to do to make a splash this Christmas for charity. Rather than roasting chestnuts on an open fire, crowds are expected to plunge into the freezing cold sea on Christmas Day in Suffolk. They've been doing it for 20 years, and our reporter Jasmine Oak has decided to join them. She's been speaking to James Fox Golding, who's from St Elizabeth Hospice.
Okay, that's cold. That's really cold.
Could you tell me about the Christmas Day dip, please?
Yes, certainly. We have around 600 people that come down to here to Felixstowe. At 10 a.m, we sound a horn, fire off a flare, and 600 people run off into the North Sea here to get cold, get wet, all running some money for the Great St Elizabeth Hospice.
And why did you decide running into the sea was the way to raise money?
It's a great tradition. It's been going. This year will actually be our 20th year that this happened. It originally started by a community group. They did it as a little fundraiser on their own, and the event has just grown and grown and grown to the point now we run it ourselves, and it's a huge event and it makes an awful lot of money for us at the hospice.
The money that's raised from this, what does that go towards?
So all the money raised goes towards keeping the hospice going. It takes us £12 million a year to run all the services that we do at the hospice, so this will help us. We're really lucky here in Ipswich that the support we get, the community still really dig deep into their pockets, so we can't thank them enough to help us keep going and help the community.
What are some of the things that people need to keep in mind before taking part?
Have fun. We have them down in fancy dress. We've had men as Mrs. Claus. We've had inflatable turkeys, dinosaurs, parcels. We had Pamela Anderson 1 year. So they just need to come down and enjoy themselves and raise money for the hospice.
It makes me cold just thinking about it. Fair play to all of those very, very brave people in the cold. For more on these stories, head to the news pages of our website or check out our social media channels. And be sure to come back again tomorrow when we'll continue to take you behind the headlines.